Amen. Let's look in 1 Chronicles chapter 16. 1 Chronicles 16. We want to share a message entitled, Blessed Be the Lord. 1 Chronicles chapter 16. We're going to begin reading in verse 7. And read down to verse 36. Then on that day, David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. Give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in his strength, seek his face continually. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O ye seed of Israel, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen ones, he is the Lord our God, his judgments are in all the earth. Be ye mindful always of his covenant, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, even of the covenant which he made with Abraham and of his oath with Isaac, unto Isaac, and hath confirmed the same to Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, Unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance, when you were but few, even a few, and strangers in it. And when they went from nation to nation and from one kingdom to another people, he suffered no man to do them wrong, yea, he reproved the kings for their sakes, saying, Touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Show forth from day to day his salvation. Declare his glory among the heathen, his marvelous works among all nations. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord hath made the heavens. Glory and honor are in his presence. Glory and honor are in his presence. Strength and gladness are in his place. Give unto the Lord, ye kindreds of people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. The world also shall be stable, that it be not moved. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice. Let men say among the nations, The Lord reigneth. Let the sea roar in the fullness thereof. Let the fields rejoice in all that is therein. Then shall the trees of the wood sing out at the presence of the Lord, because he cometh to judge the earth. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And say ye, Save us, O God, our salvation, and gather us together and deliver us from the heathen, that we may give thanks to thy holy name and glory in thy praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel forever and ever. And all the people said amen and praised the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you for allowing us to be together this morning. Lord, we're thankful for this great psalm that David wrote as he rejoiced in the many, many ways that God was blessing him and his people. I pray, Lord, you would help us to always have a spirit of praise and thanksgiving unto our God. And Lord, when we really stop and think about the many ways that you have reached out to mankind, the many ways that you have offered opportunity for man to be saved. In many ways, you have blessed us, Lord, as we surrender our life to you, Lord. We give you the praise and the glory for everything. We would ask, Lord, if there's someone here this morning who's never been saved, may they enter into a personal relationship with a living God who loved them and sent his son into this world to die that they might be saved. And so, Lord, speak to us in a special way. And we'll give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Our text verse is verse 36. It says, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel forever and ever. And all the people said, Amen, and praised the Lord. What a great psalm here, a great chapter in the book of 1 Chronicles. And when it says, blessed be the Lord, the word blessed means to kneel or to adore. I think in present day Christianity, we've lost the concept of what it really means to praise God. And praising God is not a matter of man being entertained or being stirred up emotionally. It's a matter of man being humbled in the presence of God. Blessed be the Lord. So we're humbled at the majesty of our God. David had just brought the Ark of the Covenant back from Obed-Edom's house. We know that the Ark of the Covenant had been captured by the Philistines, and the Ark ends up in the house of Obed-Edom. And as it ends up in the house of Obed-Edom, the time that it was there, God blessed Obed-Edom's house greatly. And now David sends and the men to go and retrieve the Ark of the Covenant to bring it back into Israel. And as he brings it in, God is blessing and God is going to move once again. And he literally commands the people to bring sacrifices and peace offerings before the Lord. And as a result of it, he delivers this psalm because he wants to rejoice in who God is and what God has done. You know, the Ark of the Covenant represented the presence of God. And I think sometimes we forget that there ought to be a stirring in our heart to worship God because of the presence of the Lord. Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am in the midst. You do not have to work up a frenzy to get people to worship the Lord, because the Lord is ever present. We ought to worship and be excited about the fact that he is here in our midst. And so a psalm really is called a sacred song or a hymn. And the psalms, as you read through the psalms in the Bible, there's 150 psalms. They literally are sacred songs. They are hymns that are sung in acknowledging who God is and what God has done on behalf of man. It really is a musical recitation in regards to the glory of God. And so oftentimes we read through these passages and we just read through them. We don't stop to think about what is taking place, why it is written, and what should be the response of God's people in light of the fact that this God has come into their presence once again, and God has promised to bless them. And so blessed be the Lord. First of all, I see we're going to look at this whole psalm in verses 8 through 36. And I want to see, first of all, a personal call to give thanks. And God wants us personally to be involved in acknowledging who he is and expressing thanksgiving to who or what he has done on our behalf. Notice in verse 8, says, give thanks. And we know the subject is understood. You give thanks. Give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known the needs, his deeds among the people. So notice, first of all, there's an expression of gratitude. Give thanks unto the Lord. And that expression of gratitude is directed towards God and not towards man. Anything that man is or whatever man can experience is based on the grace of God and the mercy of God that has been extended to us. And so David is acknowledging the fact that the Ark of the Covenant is coming back into the presence of the people of Israel. He's rejoicing over that, but he's expressing gratitude to God who enabled them to retrieve the Ark of the Covenant and bring it back. So there is an expression of gratitude. It's all right to say thank you to the Lord, amen. It's all right to acknowledge his blessings in our life. And so expressions of gratitude, give thanks unto the Lord. There's a direct identification that takes place here. It says, call upon his name. So we don't talk about God in general terms. We talk about God very specifically, who it is that we worship and who we praise and who it is we acknowledge. We know that there's salvation through Christ and Christ alone, because there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And so we acknowledge the fact that our thanksgiving and our praise to God has a very direct identification of who receives the acknowledgement of our gratitude unto his name, he says. And he says, make known his deeds among the people.
And so being willing to identify this God who has done much on your behalf, so there's direct identification, and that creates a secure testimony. In other words, the Christian has something to talk about other than sports and all the other things that we are involved in. We have something to talk about in reference to the deeds that God has done on our behalf. God had moved in the life of Israel so powerfully and just so directly that David said, we need to acknowledge who God is and what he has done. It would be great for us to have a spirit of thanksgiving to the Lord, to where wherever we are, whatever conversation we're having, whoever we're interacting with, that we feel secure enough in our identity with Christ to talk about what he has done for you. What can you testify of this week in reference to what God has done on your behalf? What prayer can you testify to that God has answered for you this week? What grace has God extended to you in your life just recently? Who have you talked to about the testimony that you have in being a Christian and knowing the living God? See, David is saying to the children of Israel, you need to be stirred up with the reality of giving thanks because you have something to talk about. And I'll tell you one thing, I'm glad that I got saved because I have something to talk about. And you can't shut me up most of the time, amen. And I'm excited when God does something and you can identify it and say, this has to be of the Lord because no man could do this. And so a secure testimony. In verse 9, now he talks about my song. He says, sing unto him, sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of his wondrous works. So my song is I sing unto him. When we come in the church and we gather together to sing our congregational songs, you're not singing to impress the person next to you. You are singing to glorify God. We have songs that have been written out of a heart that wants to acknowledge the work and the will of God in a person's life. The songs that we sing testify to the fact that God is gracious and God is moving in our life and God deserves all the praise and all the worship. We have no need to be singing the world's songs. You know, I hear people pull in our parking lot, school parents, people who come to our church, and I hear the radios turned on, and I hear blasting and banging and clanging with the world's music. And you're not going to grow in your walk with God when you're embracing the world's music. God's given us a new song. He's given us even praise in our lips. God's given us something to sing about and to acknowledge, and we need to rejoice in the goodness of our God. And I'll tell you, the devil always likes to draw you back. Sometimes I'm going through the channels there, and I have my channel set so I can skip over all the garbage, amen. But every once in a while, you'll be in a store or something, and some song comes on. They're playing that from your past, and right away, I'll tell you, immediately, your mind rushes back to that moment in time, and right away, the flesh says, that's what you need to be doing. And man, I'll tell you what, that's the kind of music, and right away, it captures your attention away from God. And the only way you can get your attention back on God is to once again sing the song that the Lord has given us, even praise unto our God. And so we need to have a song that is a scriptural song that acknowledges who our God is and does not entice us to be a part of the world. And God has been good to Israel, and David is saying, you have something to sing about, so sing your psalms before the Lord. And listen, we have something to sing about, and it's songs that God has given us in reference to how he's worked in our life. So my song, being called to give thanks because of the song that the Lord has given me. But my conversation, notice in verse 9, it says, talk ye of all his wondrous works. My conversation, our conversation is about God. And now, and I'm thankful for that. I like going fishing, and I like coming back with my fish stories. Most of the time, I don't catch anything, so it's pretty a short story. Now there was nothing out there. And I read all the reports and different people catching all kinds of fish. I don't know what it is. I must be Jonah. Amen. Fish don't jump into my boat. But anyway, my conversation very quickly can be over, and so I can talk about the things of God. Amen. You need to talk about the things of the Lord. My conversation, talk ye of all his wondrous works. And God has done wondrous things. And I was listening to some preachers just the other day, and just listening to some CDs and stuff, and just listening to some old preachers preaching. And I was like, man, all they talk about is the things that God has done in their life, what God has done in the past. And I'm like, that's what my focus is. That's what I want to be focused on. That's what I want my conversation to surround, acknowledging the goodness of God because he has done so much in my life. My conversation needs to be controlled by the reality of who God is. So my conversation. Notice in verse 10, he says, exalt his name. In verse 10, it says, glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. So glory ye in his holy name. You know, his name is a name that is above all names. So why don't we glorify the Lord in glory in our lives in reference to who our Savior is? Glory in his name. And not only that, but it's not just exalting his name, but it's rejoicing in your heart. The heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. I often look at the world around me and I think, why are people so hateful? Why are people so negative? And why is people walk around always grumpy and everything? I can tell you why. They're not exalting the name of Christ. And if they're not exalting the name of Christ, there's no joy or excitement in their heart. This world has nothing to rejoice in. This world has nothing to give you. But Christ has promised us everything, and he saved our soul and delivered us, and we have an ability to acknowledge with gratitude what God has done. It gives us joy in our hearts. And little kids sing that song, I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. I think sometimes we as adults need to sing that song. Just remind ourselves that because of our relationship with Christ, because of what he has done for us, it puts joy down our hearts. We don't need to be grumpy, amen? We can be happy, we can be excited, we can rejoice in the goodness of our God if we have a grateful heart. And David, as he starts this psalm out, his focus is on the people personally understanding God is calling them to give thanksgiving and praise to him. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. So we see not only the personal call to give thanks, but in this passage we see an experiential move to praise. In verse 11 it says, seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face continually. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders, and the judgments of his mouth, and ye, O ye seed of Israel, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen ones, he is the Lord our God, his judgments are in the earth. So notice, first of all, there's an initial move that takes place, experiential move to praise. Seek the Lord and his strength. And there has to be a place, a point in your life where you decide, I'm going after God. You know, the Lord convicts us and he saves us and he delivers us. But each and every day, you have to make the decision, are you going to praise the Lord today or not? You're the one that has to make the initial decision that you're going to seek after God. You know, you can come to church and you can sit out there and be sour and just be disconnected all you want. I've already decided when I come into church, I'm going to have fun. Amen. I've already decided I'm going to praise the Lord. I've already decided I might look a little goofy sometimes, but that's all right. And I'll do okay as long as I keep walking with the Lord. I've decided to follow Jesus. I have decided I'll praise his name. I have decided I don't care if anybody else praises him or not. I'm going to praise him. So there must be an initial move where you decide you're going to worship the Lord. And David is challenging the children of Israel. Look, you need to decide, seek ye after God. We seek after so many things, but what about God? Not only is there an initial move, but there's a continual process. Notice in verse 11, it says, seek ye the Lord in his strength. Seek his face continually. You know, I've had people over the years say, well, there was a time where I really felt the Lord close to me. Well, that may have been all right back then, but what about right now? You're not doing so hot right now, amen? There needs to be a continual process of pursuing and seeking the Lord so that I can rejoice in my God. I can experience a spirit of praise and worship to my God. Notice that continual process is based upon my memory. Because in verse 12 it says, remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. And so my memories turn me to a place of rejoicing and praising God because I've watched him do as he pleases over my life and do miraculous thing by memory. You know, a testimony is nothing more than somebody sharing a memory. When I'm preaching, the Lord brings the thoughts of my mind of things that he's done in the past. And I'll tell you, my wife and I have never gotten over the reality of being saved. We've never gotten over the reality that God can provide for us in a miraculous way. God has continually, year after year, moment after moment, moved in our lives and provided for us and has cared for us, and he's still doing it today. And when I feel that he's not doing it and I don't feel like I want to praise the Lord, then my memory reminds me this is what God has done on your behalf. I'll tell you one thing right now. You need to trust in the Lord. And you need something to grab a hold of in your memory where God has moved. And David is saying, you need to, Israel, you need to remember, no matter how difficult times may be and how tough things you may have to go through, you remember that God has strengthened you and God has blessed you as you have sought after him. So there's an initial response to praise. That is a continued process by memory, but also through justice. In verse 13, it says, O ye seed of Israel, his servant, ye children of Jacob, ye chosen ones, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Now listen, there has to be a continual process of desiring and pursuing to praise the Lord. Because there's going to be times when you think that God made a wrong judgment. There's going to be a thing that you're going to have to go through in your life, and you're going to say, if God is a loving God, then why did he allow this to happen to me? Why is God allowing this to take place in my life at this very moment? And you'll start to question the justice of God. Genesis 18:25 says, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And the amazing thing is this, experiencing a spirit of praise in us is to acknowledge always that God makes no mistakes. God is perfect in all of his ways, and God has a design, plan, and purpose for each of our lives, and I can experience a spirit of praise and worship to him continually when I accept his justice and not despise the ways of my God. And so, experiential move to praise. I think sometimes we need just the Spirit of God to shake us up a little bit, to prod us a little bit. I think the Spirit of God needs to poke us once in a while, to wake us up that we ought to say, thank you, Lord, once in a while, amen. We ought to say, praise the Lord sometime. We ought to be able to acknowledge something that God has done in our life somewhere because of the fact that God is good and he's still on the throne, he's still in control, and he's still involved in your life, whatever it is you may be going through. So experiential move to praise. Not only that, but I see in verse 15 through 22, this matter of practical trust in God's covenant. See, if you're giving thanks to the Lord and you're worshiping and you're praising God and trusting everything that he has said and whatever he has done in your life, it's very practical. It's a very easy thing just to trust in God's covenant. Notice verse 15. Through 19, never forget his promises. A covenant basically is a promise. It's a contract. And it says here, be ye mindful always of his covenant. You know, Abraham had a covenant with God. Moses had a covenant with God. You know, we have a covenant with God through the sacrifice of Christ. That covenant is signed in his blood that he shed. And there is a needs to be a reminder over and over again that we can trust his covenant. We can depend upon his promises. So be mindful always of his covenant, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations. So notice it is a generational promise that he has. You know, it's shocking as the time goes by that many, many children are not embracing the covenant that God made to their fathers. And David is reminding the children of Israel that God's promises are true and they are eternal. And they go from generation to generation to generation. Our young people, let me challenge you with this. You need to have a spirit of praise and worship to God in reference to acknowledging what God has said to your parents, he has also said to you. And what God has done on the behalf of others who have walked with him, he will do it also with you. Never forget the promises of God are generational. They go from generation to generation. But not just that, it's covenantal. In verse 16, it says, even of the covenant which he made with Abraham and his oath unto Isaac, and hath confirmed the same to Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant. And he said, don't forget about this. Don't forget about the promises of God and the covenant of God. What did he say in verse 18? Saying, unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance, when you were but few, even a few, and strangers in it. Now listen, there's going to be times when you think you're all alone and God's not real and God can't move in your life anymore. Remember this, Israel was out of their land for 70 years in Babylon, but God had made a covenant with Israel that they would possess their land, and God took them back to their land. You realize this, every covenant that God makes, he holds to it. And he sees through that you can experience the promises of God. And so it's a very practical ability to trust in the Lord. David is directing the children of Israel to sing about this. Sing about the promises of God. Sing about the rewards of the Lord. Sing about the covenant of God. Sing about those things that God has so done and designed and has promised that he'll continue to fulfill in our life. Don't let the world grab your attention away from the promises and the covenants of God. So never forget his promise. Letter B is just simply this. Always rehearse his protection. In verse 20, he says, and when they went from nation to nation and from one kingdom to another people, he suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he reproved kings for their sakes, saying, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. You know, Apostle Paul said this, if God be for us, who can stand against us? Sometimes we become overrun with fear, distraught in life because of the fact that we are troubled about the world and the conditions that are around us. Wait a minute, the Christian cannot lose with God. The Christian never loses in life. The Christian may not have, may not experience, may not be doing what the world is doing, but God has something greater and better and eternal that he has in store for the believer in Jesus Christ. And so we have something to be thankful for. We can, in a practical way, trust in God's covenant. I'm just saying this, you might not understand it, but you can believe it. An old preacher said years ago, the future is as bright as the promises of God. And I don't care what's coming around the corner. God is still on your side. He still cares about you, and he'll keep his promises to you. And so always rehearse his protection. And so practical trust in God's covenant. Well, I see verse 23 through verse 35, a proclamation of who God is. Now, this psalm is a song that they're singing. And they're singing about the fact that God has personally called us to give thanks, that God has moved us into a spirit of praise and worship to Him, because we can, in a very practical way, trust every promise that God has made to us. And so then he continues the psalm, says, okay, as you end the song, let's end the song proclaiming who God is. Notice in verse 23, there must be continual worship. Verse 23, sing unto the Lord, all the earth, show forth from day to day his salvation. And don't get over the salvation that you experience. It's continual worship of the Lord, because he has saved you, and because he saved you, he has secured you, and you have something to adore the Lord about. So continual worship. If no one else worships the Lord, you can worship the Lord. Sing unto the Lord, all ye earth, and show forth from day to day his salvation. Not only is it continual worship, but it's a comprehensive work. In verse 24, declare his glory among the heathen, his marvelous works among all nations. A comprehensive work. God wants to move in the lives of other people also. But listen, you and I can share and speak about and enjoy the work of God in our own life to impact others around us. God has called us to be fruitful. God has called us to reproduce our faith in others. And it's a comprehensive work. God's not just focused on Tom's River. He's not just focused on New Jersey. He's focused on this whole world. It's a comprehensive work that God wants to do in the hearts and the lives of people. Notice the supremacy of God in verse 25. We're singing in reference to, for God, for great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Supremacy of God. There's no religion, there's no God, there's no faith, there's no practice, there's no education. There is nothing that is greater than our God. And when we say a song, I like that old song, a mighty fortress is our God. He is a mighty fortress. Who is like our God? There's no one like our God. And so we sing about the supremacy of God. Then we sing about the beauty of the Lord. Notice in verse 27, he says, glory and honor are in his presence. Strength and gladness are in his place. When I was reading verse 27 earlier today, I was thinking, glory and honor are in his presence. You look around the world, it's kind of hard to find any glory and honor anywhere. But every time you look to God, there's glory and honor in his presence. There's glory and honor in his presence. Strength and gladness are in his place. Give unto the Lord, ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. You know why so many people really don't care for God and really don't want to know about God? Is because they can't worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness, because they're so embraced with the filthiness of this world. I was listening to an old preacher preach the other day, and he's talking about, and this was years ago, a long time ago, he's talking about how bad the world was. And I thought, boy, if you were alive today, whew, my goodness gracious. And I mean, he was waxing elegant. I mean, he was a preaching hard on the conditions of the world, how gross and how filthy it was. And I thought, the things that the heathen wouldn't talk about back then are very conducts and actions of people who claim to be Christians today. And we say, well, I don't understand why I can't enjoy the presence of God, because we have to enjoy the beauty of the Lord in reference to the beauty of his holiness. He is holy. I mean, the angels, when they saw the Lord high and lifted up, Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up, in Isaiah 6, they're crying, holy, holy, holy. The very character and very person of all that God is holiness. So the beauty of the Lord is his holiness. Not only that, but beauty of the Lord, but he brings stability. In verse 30, fear before him, all the earth, the world also shall be stable, that it be not moved. And I'm not worried about what these people say about global warming, climate change, or anything else. The stability of creation is based upon God's ability to control and run everything. He did not wind up the world and take his hands off of it. He is still in control of this world. And nothing's happened to this world. It will be burned up with a fervent heat. But it's in fact, you know, it's burned up with a fervent heat in the book of Revelation when the wrath of God comes on it. So I'm safe. I'm sheltered. I'm hopeful that, wait a minute, I'm still going to sing praises in reference to that God is the one who brings stability in the world. Not only that, but he reigns in verse 31. Let the heavens be glad and let the earth rejoice and let men say among the nations, the Lord reigneth. Let the sea roar in the fullness thereof. Let the fields rejoice and all that is therein. Then shall the trees of the wood sing out at the presence of the Lord because he cometh to judge the earth. I mean, he is the one who absolutely reigns on this earth. He is the judge of all mankind. But he is good, in verse 34, he is good and merciful. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And so our songs speak of the mercy of God and the grace of God and the goodness of God. We rejoice in worshiping and proclaiming who he is. And then verse 35, he is our salvation. Verse 35, it says, and say ye, save us, O God, our salvation. David's reminding them, you're not looking to the heathen nations, the heathen kings to be your deliverer. You're looking to our God as to be the one who is delivering us and gather us together and deliver us from the heathen that we may give thanks to thy holy name and glory in thy praise. And so they're proclaiming who their God is. And so when we talk about blessed be the Lord, it involves God calling us, directing us, impressing upon us to give thanksgiving towards him. It is a matter of experiencing praise and worship of who God is. Not praise and worship based on what man designs and man manipulates and man puts in order, but praise and worship in reference to what the Bible says and giving glory due to the name of God. And trusting in the covenants of God. We sing because of the fact we know that the promises are true. We sing about heaven because we believe in the covenant of God. We sing about eternal life because of the fact we believe the promises of God are true. And then proclaiming who God is. We sing about who God is, what he is, how he responds, what his abilities are. We sing songs that identify and proclaim the goodness of our God. The response in verse 36 of the people was just simply this. They shouted amen and praised the Lord. That was the response of the people. And so praising the Lord is an acknowledgement of the people of God to say, wait a minute, God has done so much. God has moved in such a miraculous way. Amen means to let it be so. So when someone says amen, they're saying, I'm in agreement with you. They're saying, let it happen the way it's happening. Praising the Lord means to, praise means to extol or to glory or to lift up. When David wrote this psalm, reminding them of all the things they ought to be singing about, reminding them of all the things that they had enjoyed, their immediate response was, let it be so. We glorify the name of our God. They said, amen. Praise the Lord. And it'd be nice if somebody said amen, praise the Lord once in a while. You're not going to drop dead because you say amen or you say praise the Lord. But I know this, that God is a magnificent God. Blessed be the Lord. And we have something to rejoice in always, continually, because of who our God. He is immutable. He is, does not change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's why Jesus said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. and we live our lives based on the reality of the promises of God. So amen and praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you for allowing us to be together this morning. We appreciate the many ways that you move in our life. Lord, we stand amazed at the glory of God. And Lord, as we read through the word, it just reminds us over and over again the many, many things that you have said you would do, many, many things that we can testify you have done. And God, we do come with a spirit of wanting to praise our God. Blessed be the Lord. I pray, Lord, if someone needs to be saved, you'd touch them right now. They would come and receive you as their personal Savior. I pray for every believer this morning, whatever it is that's robbing them of the joy of their God. Lord, turn their heart back to you. Turn their focus on you. And Lord, I pray that they'll leave here praising the Almighty God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. We're going to sing, Nearer Still, Nearer.